Well, good morning and welcome to our service this morning. And whether you are a mum or not a mum or have any kind of responsibility for children, which we all do, then you are very welcome here. And as we come into God's presence, let's pray together. Father, we thank you that your goodness runs after us And just like any parent, like the parent, the father in the prodigal son, you open your arms to welcome us into your presence. And you forgive us all things. And Father, we thank you that we can trust in that. We can trust in you for our salvation. And no matter what the world will do to us, you will not betray us. You will not let our trust down. You are a faithful God. So, Father, we thank you for that. And, Lord, we want to praise you as a faithful God, a mighty King who never lets his people down. So, Father, we come to do that this morning, and we draw near to your presence in order to do that. Be with us now, we pray, Father. Forgive us our sins and make us worthy of coming into your presence. Amen. So, as I say, you are very welcome to be here this morning. Welcome to those online. Happy Mother's Day. I've got my mum and my mother-in-law both watching, so happy Mother's Day. And I get to say that online this morning. And anyone else who is watching, joining with us, those who are unable to attend in person, you are very welcome to join with the fellowship this morning. There's lots of information in here. Do have a really good swizz, all those things that are there for your information. And if you do have any songs for next Sunday evening, then Terry is here. So get your songs to Terry for next Sunday evening. Pick those good ones that are your favourites and let her know this morning. That would be really good. And then we can put the music out ready for next Sunday evening. Now, the worship team were laughing at me because I sent round the order of service and the reading, and it's quite a chunky chunk. So you are welcome to take your seats. So this is from 1 John 3, and it's talking about all of the things that we can relish in and rest in. So I am going to read 10 verses, so you've got a good while to have a little sit down. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be, he has not yet made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they've been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother or sister. So it's really important that we love one another and we trust in God and don't follow anyone else. And that's what we're celebrating this morning, that we can trust in him and he will not let us down. We're going to sing three songs more or less together. So If that's a little bit of a long time for you to stand up, please do pick and choose, but stand if you are able. And we're going to start by singing "Before the Throne of God Above, I Have a Strong, a Perfect Plea." And this song just says everything. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art. Amen. Please do take your seats. Thank you for going with us. I've actually written on the order of service. Pause for breath, okay? So, everybody take a deep breath. Thank you for joining with us and for being a part of the worship this morning. And some part of the worship this morning will be to celebrate all our ladies. It was International Women's Day on Friday and it's Mothering Sunday today. So we've kind of schmooshed that all together and we'll celebrate our women folk in just a moment. But I have to ask amongst the children, have there been any birthdays? Any birthdays amongst the little ones? No, I know I've got Alicia behind me. She's on Friday. So, no, okay. So, we are going to celebrate the women folk. Everyone, please do receive a gift from us. I should have quite a team going on of people being ready to give them out. But if I could have some of the Ignite and the Way and everything to
at the end of my pause. It's all right, there's some around. Sorry, if I do my bit at the end of...
You've got 5 minutes.
Not this one.
Hello.
2 minutes.
2 minutes, right, okay. Sorry, Bev, I should have said. I have put out the gifts for Mother's Day around, but before we get to that, good morning and happy Mother's Day to all the ladies in the house. You do not need to have given birth to be a mother. We've got lots of children that you can adopt. You can be aunties, you can be big sisters, you can be advisors and teachers and coaches and just cheerleaders, and that entitles you to a very happy Mother's Day. So God bless you and thank you for being here. It's always weird when you see people from a little bit of your past, and I've got one of my school children that I was a TA in the class for, and I'm not going to point her out, but God bless you too, and it's lovely for you to see a different side of me. So I did tell the Dickens I would not be talking for a long time, but I do have a word of the Lord, and I've written it all down, so we shouldn't be here too long. 2 minutes, Bev, yes. Let me just classify. If you are over the age of 18 and you are female, you are an adult, you are a woman. If you are 16 or 17, you are a lady in training, so you are included in this. Now, Proverbs chapter 31, we are in church, so we should open the good book. Glasses. Yeah, I know, they've been very, very quick. Proverbs 31 is really quite scary sometimes because it talks about this amazing woman. And in verse 25, it says that she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. The days to come might not be joyful, but she can still laugh at them. Why would she do that? Because she is a woman. She has a womb, even if it's not a physical womb. She has a womb, and a seed is planted in a womb. Bev has already told us about a seed in the verses that we read. It is there to be nurtured. In the right environment, it grows, it breathes, it takes shape. And it changes the world. You are a strong woman. You are able. You are a support system for this church, and we appreciate you. Even if you're visiting with us for the first time, your presence here will make someone smile. God bless you for coming. You are someone that God loves and treasures, and he wants to put a seed in you. So we say thank you. But I believe that God has more that he wants to do with each and every one of us individuals as women. He wants to do something new, something that hasn't been done before, something you haven't seen before, something you are not ready for. So you have to go into the Word of God. You have to set your feet firmly on the foundation of the bedrock of the Word of God to be ready for what God has in store for you. You have to take the seed of the idea he gives you, even though it's strange and unusual and odd. You have to take it and nurture it, grow it, let it breathe, and let it shake the world. Shaking is never easy or, you know, nice. Sometimes it is painful. in the birthing of your ideas, in the birthing of what God wants to do in you, there will be pain. But there is joy at the end of every birth. At the end of the birthing of your ideas, of your great thing that you are going to do in this church, in this world, God will do great things and He will bring joy. Now, we are all different shapes, sizes, colors, creeds. We all have different abilities. But God has a specific spiritual shape for you. And the church needs that. Our church needs that. And God needs to shake you into the mold He has for you so that you will go out there and make a big difference. So read the word, speak the word, look into the word, dig deep into it, be grounded in the word. Don't let anything shake you. Don't let the days to come move you. And know what the word says, so that when you see that seed hitting your womb, God can grow something different from you and out of you, something radical. And when you give birth to it, you will not be afraid. God said a lot, do not be afraid, in the book of, in the Bible. He said it to Joshua, and He said that before the wars came. He said it to Mary before she had to face a community where she was living, being pregnant out of wedlock. But she stood firm. And you can stand firm on what God is and what God wants you to be. What God has said to you. Do not be afraid, because the Lord is with you and He will help you to shake the world and change the world. Change the community, change your school, change your friends, change the people around you, change your family, change your workplaces, change the world. So let's have that mindset as we go forth as women, that we can bring change. It can just start with one person. Change one thing about yourself, and God will shake you up and shape you into the mother that will bring gladness into this world. So I have an encouragement in the book of Luke, chapter 1, to be up there, as well. And it is verse, what did I say?
145.
Might be. 45, yep. Verse 45 said, "Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her. It will be accomplished." That's a different version. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill His promises to her. So whatever God has promised you as women, whatever He has promised you as people of God, take that. And even if you're a man and you take that, God will do great things for you. So I have put some of the treats upstairs. There are two delivery places upstairs. Some of the children can go in there. And then Sally is already ready down here. If we could have some of the children, Ewan, go and help to distribute out. I'd like to ask all the ladies over the age of 16, please stand up so that we can make sure everybody gets a gift. Everyone, please stand up. You are a mother in this church. We love you. We appreciate you. We want great things for you. There's some at the back. They're not going to stand up, but right. So you're getting a little treat to give you rest, to give you comfort. It's a chocolate, a biscuit, and they are... Where are the children? Children, can you come and help distribute?
Yeah, coming up.
Daddy, you'll have to take them around.
Yeah, they're all upstairs. If you're downstairs,
take them around,
and you can help give out, that'd be good.
If you have a wife or a mother who's not here, please take one for them. They are plenty. You'll get yours in a minute. Please keep standing until you have your gift. We want to make sure everybody gets one. Once you have it, you can sit down.
Yeah. If you've got it, then you can sit down.
Once you have it, you can sit down, so we make sure everybody...
You need to go right to the back.
We've got some distributors. Yeah. Make sure all the mothers, all the sisters, all the big aunties, all the Sunday school teachers especially. Most of those are women, and that's great. They're coming. Yep, on the stage. One of them. Coming up. Come on. Ooh. Danny? Thank you very much.
I love you.
one.
Oh, thank you. Ooh, got property.
Okay, I think that's everyone. Thank you so much, children. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Just to say, if what you've got doesn't quite suit your purpose, I've got jasmine tea. I'm not going to drink that, sorry. But so there is an opportunity at the end of the service to do a little swap. There are also some gluten-free things on there. And there's, I think, 3 chocolates, but they might have been prepared somewhere where there was gluten or nuts or something like that. Please come forward. And there's also, because Bev is very well organized, there's also a non-food alternative. If you don't like biscuits and tea, you can pick up a candle or something fragrance that's in a little red box that's at the front here. So God bless you, and thank you, ladies, for all that you do for this church.
Yeah, get there quickly. Yeah, there's some inedible things. Don't eat the things in the red basket. That would not do you any good. Yes, just in case anyone's given anything up for Lent or anything like that, there are some alternatives over there. Let's pray for our women folk and our children, and then they will be going out to their groups. But let's pray now. Father God, we know that you took human shape, and Lord, that you were born of a woman. And Father, we thank you for that potential, or for that achieved potential, or for that role that people play. Lord, we all take on looking after someone else. And Father, we look after those in our fellowship and those outside of our fellowship too. And Lord, we thank you for your blessing this morning. And we pray, Father, too, that you would be with all of the children and the young people now. Lord, we thank you for their ability to put these things together and to continue to make these and to prep them throughout the week with Sally and Lisa's guidance. And we pray that you would indeed bless them as they go to their groups now, and that they would be learning of you, learning more of you from those people who mother them in those groups. Lord, we know that many of the junior church and the Ignite and Way leaders are female, and we thank you for the work going on outside of this room, but continuing to serve you. So Father, we pray that you would be with each and every one of us, whatever our role is, and you would indeed inspire us to shake things up and become more like you. And we pray that you would be a real blessing and guide to all who are gathered here this morning, whatever their age and whatever their circumstance. Amen. Kuda made me think about when I was really small, I had shaker makers. Maybe showing my age, not many people remember them, but it was like this strange powdery stuff, and you added water and shook it, and it achieved the shape of the mold that it was inside of, and then you had like little ornaments that you'd made with these mold things, and they shrank as they dried as well. Shaker makers. I can remember getting that for Christmas, and it just really put me in mind that is how we should be with God. And our next song celebrates that. So we will remain seated and sing Beautiful Lord, and the children will leave us and go to their groups now, please. So let's remain seated and sing this through. Let's pray together. Let's pray our congregational prayer together as we remain in God's presence. We've just asked that he guide me, call me, draw me into his presence. Father, we do come before you in a time of prayer now. Lord, we know that there are so many things that if we put all of our heads together, we would be thinking about so many different things. Different countries, different situations. And Lord, things that are trials and test us, and things that are joy and benefit our lives. So Father, we bring those things before you now. Lord, we know that there are situations of war, and Father, situations that are really desperate, of famine and hunger, of lack of basic needs. Lord, we pray for those who have no medical care, no comfort, and no home at the moment. And we know that covers many millions of people around the world. And Lord, we pray for those who are grieving at this time, Lord, within our congregation and across the globe. We know that there have been strikes in warfare and in different situations, Lord, in natural disasters, in terrorism, all those things take someone away from a family. And we do indeed pray for those who grieve. And Father, we do want to pray again and Lord say thank you for those who are mothers to us. Lord, thank you for those who we can look back on in our teaching and in our Sunday schools in many years before, who spoke words to us and have guided our lives to this point. And Lord, we thank you for those who bring us to this point in our lives. Father, we thank you for those who have recently given their hearts to the Lord. Lord, that you have had influences and guidance in their lives and brought them to this point. As we look ahead to our baptism service. Father, we do praise you and glorify your name for all that you are doing in this place. We bring our government before you, the royal family before you, and Father, those in more local government who share out the different things that we pay into. Lord, we pray for those who guide all the different healthcare services, for the police, and Lord, for those around us on a daily basis who look after us and look after this town. Father, we do pray for this town, and we ask that we would have an impact upon it, that we would change it for the better. Whatever we would do, Father, we pray for your guidance, and we leave it all in your hands. Lord, you are the wonderful potter. Everything is right with you. You are beautiful, Lord. And we give it all to you. Amen. I found it was quite tricky to think about songs about betrayal. I couldn't really think about songs about betrayal. But this song was the one that just came into my head and wouldn't go away all week. And it was the little bit in the chorus, I will trust in you. And that original passage at the beginning, we need, if we're trusting in God, then we can love one another and know that he is guiding us. So let's stand just before Nathan comes to speak to us and sing, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want."
Pastures green, he leads. take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Let's go to our great God in prayer as we come to the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for your holy word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our pathway. We know that it's not possible for man or woman to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Lord, throughout this week, perhaps we have listened and we have perused the news in the world, from Sky News and BBC News and ITV News, and we see what's going on all around the country and the world. But we thank you now that we can come and hear what you have to say. So we pray that you would just speak to our hearts, still our hearts before you, that we may be receptive to what thus saith the Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would anoint me afresh as your servant, that I may preach boldly and proclaim the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it's all said and done, as we leave this place, may we leave knowing more of thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning to you all. Good to see you. And happy Mother's Day to all of the women. I know some of our leaders have gone out to teach the children and the young people, but happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you. May God bless you, and may you have a wonderful, wonderful day. Well, we are continuing our sermon series that we launched last week. How many of you can remember what the sermon series is entitled? Come on now, don't embarrass the preacher now.
The road to Easter.
Good. Let's say it together.
The road to Easter.
So we are on a journey throughout the course of this month. And of course, this journey is going to lead us right up until Good Friday and, of course, Easter Sunday. And we're just journeying through the passages leading up to Holy Week. And last week, we took a trip down Luke chapter 18. And we took a pit stop there. We parked our cars in chapter 18. And of course, we picked up the events of Jesus Christ, who was in Jericho with his disciples. And he informed his team that he said, listen, we're going on a journey. We are heading to Jerusalem. And he began to share with them the events that would take place in Jerusalem. He said, the Son of Man will suffer. He will be flogged, he will be beaten, and ultimately he will be led to his crucifixion. But on the third day, he promised his disciples that he would rise again. And that was the blessed hope of the resurrection that he shared with his team. But now we're heading into Luke chapter 22. And now we're going to see that Jesus and his disciples have made it into Jerusalem. And there are several events that took place in Jerusalem which led to his death. So we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 22. And I'm going to commence reading from verse number 1. And it reads like this. Now the festival of unleavened bread called the Passover was approaching. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. So we see that the scheme is very much in full gear, the plan to eliminate the Lord Jesus Christ and get rid of him. And then in verse 3, it's interesting, it reads, then Satan, can we say Satan?
Satan.
Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. And he consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. For the sake of time, I want to come down to verse number 47. And of course, during the subsequent verses, you'll find that Jesus and his disciples, they would feast, celebrating the Passover meal. And of course, they shared the Last Supper. And sitting around the table, of course, was Judas Iscariot, who was already plotting to betray the Lord Jesus. And Jesus knew that Judas would betray him, but yet still he offered him bread and he offered him the cup. Let's pick up now in verse number 47. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" Should we fight back? Should we get our revenge? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and he healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." For a short time this morning, I want to speak from this simple thought: dealing with betrayal. Dealing with betrayal. Church, towards the end of last year, there was an interesting article in the Independent newspaper which featured an article which raised a very interesting question to its readers. Simply put, the question that was raised was simply, what is the worst kind of pain that humans can experience? What is the worst type of pain that you and I could experience? And of course, although pain is subjective to each individual's perspective, as some, even in this room, may display a higher pain threshold than others. However, the article goes on to list 20 types of pain, which was also endorsed by the National Health Service, that are considered by many to be the most debilitating and excruciating types of pain that humans could experience. And here are just 5 out of the 20 on the pain list. And in no particular order, here's what the report records. It says, number 1, shingles. Shingles. Here's another one: kidney stones. Very severe type of pain. Here's another one: a slipped disc. Anyone here ever experienced a slipped disc? Painful. Here's another one: gout pain. Very painful. And finally, broken bones can be excruciating pain. Now, in my humble opinion, there was one type of pain that was omitted from the list that I personally believe should have made the cut. In my opinion, this type and area of pain is undefeated. And it will challenge every single one of us, every fiber in our being, for about 10 seconds of your life. And it's none other than the pain of stubbing your toe. How many of you know what it's like to stub your toe? I mean, just thinking about it brings back the trauma in my mind of all of the times that I've accidentally stubbed my toe on the corner of various items of furniture. And for about 10 seconds, it will make a grown man or a woman act like a little baby. However, church, what the list failed to include in the article is the reality that some of the most traumatic episodes of pain and the types of pain that you and I could experience sometimes could not be identified as physical pain. But the question this morning is, what happens when the pain that we experience, it cuts much deeper than the physical? It cuts deeper into our emotions. It goes beyond the physical trauma. But although it cannot be identified as physical pain, the pain that we experience from an emotional point of view can be just as debilitating. And church, what happens when there is no localized area of pain from a physical point of view, yet nonetheless the discomfort and the discontent of the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions can be just as disturbing? And such was the case, church, right here in Luke chapter 22. The situation at hand, church, would bring into fruition an act of betrayal that would be the vehicle and the method by which the Lord Jesus Christ would be delivered into the hands of the religious authorities. Now, just like the conversation that we shared last week in Luke chapter 18, the act of betrayal from Judas was likewise included in an Old Testament prophecy. And Jesus already knew and was prepared that his friend would betray him. It's interesting that the one who would let Jesus down was not a member of the Pharisees, was not a member of the Sadducees, not a part of the opposition, but right within his core team. The one that he spent time to teach and to journey with, to break bread around the table with. The one who witnessed the Lord Jesus perform miracles, signs and wonders right before his very eyes, was the same one who would now betray him. Can you imagine the feeling of knowing that someone within your core inner circle would now sell you out down the river? The one you have invested in, the one who you have shared with, has now sold you out for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver that scholars suggest would be worth either, some suggest about 4 months' wages, and some suggest that it was much less than 4 months' wages. But what could be worth? No amount of money could be worth selling out the one whom you love. But regardless of the price that was paid to Judas, no amount of money could diminish the pain or cover the cost of the anguish that Jesus must have faced, knowing in his humanity that his friend would betray him. right before the most painful time in his life, just before going to the cross to die for the sins of the world, Jesus had to deal with his own friend betraying him. And friends, the question that I want to raise this morning is, what happens in all of our lives when someone who you have journeyed with, someone who you have shared with, someone who has sat around your table, you have laughed together, you have cried together, you have shared happy memories, the ups and the downs, you have confided in each other, but now you find out that they have betrayed your trust? How do we compute this feeling? How do we register the pain that Jesus must have felt? Friends, the scars of betrayal are clear to see. It really hurts. It tears down relationships. It creates havoc in marriages. It causes division and tension amongst friendship groups. The fruit of betrayal is clear to see. But the question this morning, friends, is, how do we respond when someone close to us has betrayed our trust? Where do we find comfort and hope when you've lost faith in someone who is nearest and dearest to you? Well, the first point in closing this morning that I want to leave you with today is, number one, if we are going to deal with the pain of betrayal in our lives, just like Jesus had to do with Judas, the first point that I want to leave with you this morning is, number one, we have to recognize the bigger picture. Can we say that together? Recognize the bigger picture. I want to read again from verse number 1 to 3 in Luke chapter 22. It says, when the festival of unleavened bread called the Passover was approaching, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they were looking for a way to get rid of Jesus. But verse 3 is interesting. It says, then Satan entered Judas. Satan entered into Judas. There's an old saying in the world, friends, that simply says, don't believe everything you hear and only half of what you see. The purpose of the saying is to serve as a reminder that perception can be misleading, as things are not always as they appear in view. For example, there is an old story of a woman sitting in her car, just casually minding her own business, when a man comes out of the blue and approaches her in what appeared in view to be in a frenzied state. He rips open the car door, grabs the woman by the arm, and pulls her roughly out of the car. And of course, if we were to add nothing more to the story, then I'm sure many of us here today would be thinking, this does not sound very good. Why is a man rushing to a woman's car, dragging her out of the vehicle, ripping open the car door, grabbing her by the arm? This does not sound or look very good. But if you pull the camera lens back and look at the scenario from a different perspective, a different point of view, then you will find that the man in the story was not assaulting the woman, but he was in fact rescuing the woman, because the car was actually on fire. And church, in like manner, it's important, even with the pain and the trauma and the confusion of betrayal, that we take a look at the bigger picture. Look at things from a different perspective. Luke records in verse 3 that Satan entered into Judas, one of the 12. In other words, the devil is the father of lies, and his job is to bring chaos and confusion into the world. His job is to deceive and to tear down and to destroy relationships, to tear down anything that is good and fruitful. That's why in John chapter 10, Jesus puts it this way, that the thief, talking about the devil, has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, the devil's role in the betrayal of Judas must not be underestimated. But by no means should Judas take no responsibility for his actions. Satan's part in the betrayal does not remove the responsibility away from Judas. Yet verse 3 is interesting and important, because the very fact that Satan is mentioned, it lets us know that Judas must have opened the door for the devil to come in and destroy all of the good that Jesus had intended for his life. It's like my mom would always encourage me when I was a child. She would always say, don't give the devil an inch. Because if you give him an inch, he will take a mile. And there is evidence, friends, to suggest concerning Judas that he was already opening the door to the bigger picture of the devil to wreak havoc in his life. Some of you will remember the story when Mary poured very expensive perfume over the feet of the Lord Jesus, and she wiped his feet with her hair. And you'll recall that it was Judas who spoke up and he said, this is not a good thing. Why are you wasting such expensive nard, expensive perfume, and wasting it on the feet of Jesus Christ? You could have sold the perfume and that money could have been donated to the poor. But when you read the rest of the story, the Bible lets us know that Judas, in fact, did not really care about the poor. But the Bible lets us know that Judas was a thief, and his sole desire was for the woman to sell the perfume so that he could profit off the money for himself. So we see, and there is evidence, that Judas had already given an inch to the devil. And church, we have to look at the bigger picture in all of our lives when we see the enemy at work trying to cause division in our families, trying to break and tear down our relationships, trying to sow discord even amongst the church. We have to look at the bigger picture and not come down on our brothers and sisters, but we've got to call out the enemy at work and say, Satan, take your hands off of my family. Take your hands off of the church. Get out. You are not welcome here. We've got to recognize the bigger picture. But finally this morning, not only if we are going to deal with betrayal, and by no means is this easy, but if we are going to receive the help from the Lord this morning and how we can deal with betrayal in our own lives, my final point this morning is this. Not only should we recognize the bigger picture, but finally, I want to challenge all of us today, is even with the pain of betrayal, we should strive to retain our Christian dignity. Can we say that together? Strive to retain our Christian dignity. I love this church because in verse 19 to 23, can you imagine what it was like for Jesus to sit around the table, eating and breaking bread together, knowing that there was someone around the table who was about to betray your trust? The reality is, for us, we would struggle with that. Get out of my house! You're not welcome here! How dare you? Yet Jesus didn't say anything like that. He continued to break bread with Judas. He continued to celebrate with Judas the Passover meal, knowing that he was about to sell him out. Jesus continued to feast with his friend. It's like the story of the young man working at the airport, and his job was to check the luggage and the bags of those traveling to their various destinations. And from time to time on his job, he would often receive, or be on the receiving end, if you will, of frustrated customers who laid the blame solely at his feet. And on one occasion, for several minutes, he was belittled and verbally abused by an angry customer who criticized his every move. Yet surprisingly, the luggage porter did not seem to be bothered at all. He wasn't swayed by the man's abuse at him. So after the angry man walked off and went about on his journey, a lady who was watching from the side, she approached the employee and she asked a question. She said to the man, "How do you put up with such injustice? How do you allow this man just to talk to you and treat you like that? And yet you show such restraint. You show such control. You retain your composure under immense pressure." And the young man replied, "Well, it's quite easy, because that guy is traveling to New York, but his luggage, I'm sending it to Brazil." You see, in like manner, in our humanity, friends, the natural human reaction is to fight back. It's to fight fire with fire. It's to pay back, to repay, to recover some sense of retribution for the hurt that has been caused by someone else. But Jesus teaches us through this story, through his response to Judas's betrayal, that the best response is simply to repay back, not with fire, but with love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Judas, I know that you're about to betray me, but I'm not going to allow you to deter me from my assignment. I'm not going to stoop down to your level of foolishness. And instead of fighting back, I'm going to offer you some bread and some wine. And church, in closing, this, I believe, is the benchmark, the rubric that Jesus has set for each and every one of us, his followers. That we don't just treat our loved ones and our friends well when they are always treating us well. But even when we are let down and disappointed by our loved ones, we should seek to respond out of the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our response should always be drenched in the love and the grace of God. Now, do we always match up to this? The reality is no. Sometimes we say words back. Sometimes we do shout back. We do seek to get even. But we should not allow the sinful actions of someone else cause us to respond in a sinful manner. Our response, even to betrayal, should be viewed through the lenses of the love of Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this. This is important that I add this in closing. Because although we should do our best to respond to betrayal and hurt in a way that is befitting of a child of God, but by no means am I suggesting that we should just turn a blind eye to abuse and to mistreatment. Sometimes the response, the fitting response, should be that we report the issue. That we report the abuse and the mistreatment to the relevant authorities. Sometimes the appropriate response is to walk away from an abuser. Because I believe the will of God for us is not that we should stay in an abusive cycle. But as much as it is possible in our lives, we should strive to live peaceably with all of humanity. Yes, it's challenging. Yes, it's difficult. It's not easy. And through the Holy Spirit, the Lord can teach us how to respond in a way that is befitting of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe that is the rubric, that is the template that the Lord Jesus desires us to follow. So recognize the bigger picture. Remember that it's not just what you see in front of you, the betrayer. But the bigger picture is that the devil is busy. And he is seeking to wreak havoc in our lives and to bring disharmony amongst the body. But finally this morning, may we leave knowing that our response should always be viewed through the lenses of Christian dignity. Don't stoop down to their level, but respond out of the bountiful mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we recognize this is a very heavy subject, and betrayal is not easy. But Father, we thank you that through your dealing of Judas, we can see the perfect example of how we can respond when someone in our inner circle has betrayed our confidence and our trust. Lord, would you help us through your Holy Spirit to not fight back evil with evil, but help us, Lord, to repay good even when evil comes our way. Help us, Lord, to look at the bigger picture and to call out the enemy who is seeking to wreak havoc in the world and in our lives. But we thank you that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And that sound mind that is given to us through your Holy Spirit can help us to navigate through the difficulty and the challenge of dealing with betrayal. And I pray for anyone here today who is dealing with betrayal, whether it be in a relationship, in families, and even on this Mother's Day, we're mindful that perhaps not everyone has a good memory of their mother. Not everyone has a great memory and good memories in the past. And perhaps, Lord, there has been mistreatment. Perhaps there has been abuse. Would you help each and every one of us, Lord, to be able to deal with the pain? And most importantly, to give it to you. Because you know how to handle even betrayal knocking at your door. So, Father, would you bless us now? Would you encourage us as we seek and we strive to live peaceably with all of humanity? To you be the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As the worship team come back, as we draw our service to a close, I want to encourage each and every one of us today that although betrayal, the betrayal of Jesus, was difficult for Jesus to compute and to register in his humanity, but through the betrayal of Jesus by Judas, it ultimately led to Jesus going to the cross. He was captured in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was tried before Pilate, and he was led to Calvary on the hill of Golgotha. But if there was no shedding of blood, then there could be no remission for our sins. And the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary, it all started through the betrayal of the Lord Jesus by Judas. But the bigger picture is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And if you are here today and you've not yet embraced the bigger picture, the love of God through Jesus Christ for yourself, then I would love to encourage you today to make the Lord Jesus Christ your choice. There is room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there is still room for one. And today you can accept the Lord Jesus. You can embrace him into your life. You can believe on him and you can be saved. And if you want to know more about the good news of Jesus, then after the service, please do meet us in the prayer corner and we'll love to share more about the love of God for you. Amen. Amen.
Amen. As Nathan has said again and again, it's about the bigger picture. And the song we're going to sing has a really big picture behind it. This man went through terrible, terrible things, and yet he was able to write, "It is well with my soul." So if you don't know the story about this hymn, have a good search later on. And he definitely saw the bigger picture. So let's stand and sing together, "When Peace Like a River."
Take my way.
Praise the Lord. Regardless of betrayal, letdowns, disappointments, we can boldly declare this morning that it is well with our souls. Please do join us in the church after the service for teas and coffees and biscuits and a chance to fellowship. And again, happy Mother's Day to all of the women. May God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Receive now the benediction as we leave this place. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.